with this new balance of power is the need for principled compromise. This is still one of the most closely divided Senates in all of our history.
It'll make it more challenging, more difficult to move some of the president's agenda, but we'll work very hard to make sure that that does happen. In many ways, you can do that.
The majority and minority leaders of the U.S. Senate. Can you guess which is which? Tom Daschle and Trent Lott are going to be changing places soon. On Thursday, Senator Jim Jeffords of Vermont announced that he's leaving the Republican Party and set off a shift in control of that House. Dan Shore joins us. Morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And it's been called seismic. It's been called pivotal. One man has made a decision. Does it really change the votes that we're going to see on major issues?
Oh, potentially a whole lot. I mean, it upends the Senate. It has a potential ripple effect on legislation. And why it is that one person can make such a difference under current conditions, I think, has to do with the delicate balance in Congress. And beyond that, it reflects the polarization around the country and even inside the two parties. You know, Northeastern Republicans like Jeffords, fiscally conservative, socially moderate, are just not like Southwest Republicans who are all around conservative. The Senate is so evenly divided, the House only a little bit less so, because America is divided. A president elected without a popular majority by a disputed handful of votes in one state in Florida, a Senate which was already under Democratic control for the first 17 days in January, and that division continues. The Gallup polls show that 43% of Americans, most of them Democrats, think it's wonderful about Jeffords quitting. 35%, mostly Republicans, think it's very bad. And 22%, mostly independents, have no opinion.
Now, the constitutional officers of the Senate certainly are going to change. Committee chairs are going to change. How do you foresee some of what we're going to look at over the next few weeks changing?
Well, there are two important facts. One is that Tom Daschle, becoming the majority leader, controls what comes up in the Senate and when it comes up. And that can be, as we have seen, a terrific, important power. Then, with the Democratic chairs now on key committees, it affects what happens on everything from missile defense to Social Security and even to the appointment of judges. Because they can schedule it when they want to schedule it. They can make a lot of important things happen, and most important, a lot of important things not happen. I'll tell you, Scott, there's one thing about the defection of Senator Jeffords that really puzzles me. Mm-hmm. Why did he promise President Bush that he would not switch before the big budget with a big tax cut was approved? Conceivably, he could have stopped the budget that he has openly criticized as shortchanging the schools and shortchanging a lot of other causes he believes in. And he also let the Republicans slip in the confirmation of Ted Olson as Solicitor General. That might have been stopped if Daschle had immediately become the Senate Majority Leader. There's one aspect to that. If you're going to do it in principle, why don't you just do it right away and have a much bigger impact than you're having now? I don't know the answer to that, but I hope we get it sometime.
I'm interested by the fact that Senator Jeffords said that he had agonized over this decision for several weeks. There used to be talk that that there might be a change in the complexion of the Senate motivated by mortality, let me put it that way, that one of the Republican senators might depart in the traditional manner. Why were people not prepared for this?
Well, you're right, and the question is, it is really quite remarkable that here was Jeffords talking to colleagues on both sides of the aisle for weeks about his deep misgivings about being out of sync with the White House, out of sync with the party leadership, and there was no leak saying, hey, we think that he's going to jump ship. Mm-hmm. Why? I think they tended to regard him as a little bit eccentric. I think it has to do also with the fact that risking your own personal security, your job security, in order to act purely on principle has become such a rare thing in our country that nobody seriously believed that a guy would simply walk out.
Renewed tone calls for bipartisanship cooperation. Do you take them any more seriously than they were a few days ago?
Well, you know, President Bush tends to talk bipartisanship and walk partisanship. And now the word from the White House is that regardless of what happened with Senator Jeffords and majorities, he is going to push ahead with his agenda, and he will use his bully pulpit to pressure the Democrats. So I don't think that suggests that there are going to be a lot of big compromises ahead, not in the short term at least. I think it is more likely that they'll be playing the great blame game for saying, I wanted to do this, but they wouldn't let me, and all of that. And it looks as though there's going to be an awful lot of things that don't get done.
This is a major victory, a legislative victory for the president.
No question. He talked about this as his number one thing during the campaign. He stuck to it. He demanded it. They tweaked the thing here and there, but basically he got the core of what he wanted. The cut, as it finally emerges now, is almost incomprehensible, though. There are provisions in it that won't kick in for years, that are provisions that will kick in and then be dropped after a year. There have been a lot of add-ons during the conference. The final total of the tax cut likely to be a lot more than the $1.35 trillion they're supposed to have agreed on, maybe closer to the $1.6 trillion that the president wanted in the first place. Top income tax rate now almost 40% will fall to 35%, but that's 5 years from now. And remember that what a Congress enacts, the future Congress after two more elections can repeal. But what happens this year to help stave off the big recession that there may be coming?
Yeah.
$300 rebate for individuals, $600 for couples. That ought to stop the recession.
Quick question. Democrats had once derided the scale of this tax cut. Does it show that in the end this was a popular idea that they had to go along with?
That's true. It was very interesting that in the early days, opinion polls indicated Americans were not all that excited about the idea of a tax cut. But as the president went around the country talking it up, after a while, the polls show, yes, they were interested in it. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, he did manage to take that, convert opinion on it, and by doing that put a lot of pressure on the Democrats, who finally basically had to give him what he wanted. Basically.
Let me ask about the foreign arena. Secretary of State Powell is in the middle of a six-day trip to Africa where he's focusing on the AIDS epidemic and encouraging democratic reform. What does this say about the administration's interest in and even commitment to Africa?
Well, I think we have to talk about the administration's commitment to Africa and Secretary Powell's commitment to Africa, which I think may be somewhat different things. I can recall that when Powell became Secretary of State, one of the first things he did was to report the State Department asked to be briefed on Africa. Mm-hmm. He takes that very seriously. The president, as you may remember, during the campaign indicated he did not think Africa was a matter of strategic importance. The United States may not be strategic importance, but Powell believes it is terribly important. And so he's off there, terribly concerned about the AIDS epidemic that is sweeping through Africa, with 15 million people dead and 11 million children orphaned. Also, yesterday, he openly criticized President Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe as undemocratic in his determination to hold on to power. This is Powell's cause. I don't know how much it is the president's cause.
And, of course, more suffering and dying in the Middle East this week, but this time not reprisal raids so far from on high from the Israeli military. Do you credit Prime Minister Sharon at saying that Israel is going to observe unilaterally a truce?
Well, I don't know to what extent that means anything, because it's likely that he won't get the truce on the other side. And whenever he sees that something happens, another bomb blows up or something else, he tends then to retreat and go back into, I don't think that suggestions of bilateral or unilateral ceasefires are going to do very much in the short term. If America gets involved, something else may happen.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dan Shore.